It was Frank Flack who found them. Last Sunday evening was our carol service, and at the end of the service, there were a pair of gloves and there was a nomination bracelet left behind. And if you were here last Sunday night, you'll know that it was a wintry evening, so the gloves were quickly claimed, and the lady who owned them was glad to get them back. However, the nomination bracelet was a different story, and I went round the young girls and said, "Does anybody own this?" I hadn't thought of going round the young boys, but maybe that's another story for another day. But nobody claimed the nomination bracelet, and we looked over it and we thought about it, and there was some little emblems on the bracelet that gave us a clue as to who might own it. And I went home and I made a phone call, and we found the owner of the bracelet. And I'm sure we've all had the experience of finding something and then trying to pass it on to the rightful owner. Well, if you were with us last Sunday, we thought about men who miss Christmas. I highlighted the innkeeper, Herod, and the religious leaders. Well, this morning I want us to be a little bit more positive, because I wanted to zoom in and think about the men who found Christmas. There were two distinct groups of men who found Christmas, and hopefully you've already caught that in our readings today. There were the shepherds to whom the angels appeared while they were tending their sheep around Bethlehem. And there were the wise men who followed the star and came to worship the Messiah. And so these two groups of men, namely the shepherds and the wise men, have become models for those who would want to find Christ in our day and generation, even at Christmas time. And so firstly today, I want us to note the magnificent contrast between these two groups of men who found Christmas. The social standing of these groups was so different. The shepherds, well, they were of very low social standing. Shepherds were looked down upon by society and were despised and often were mistrusted. In Luke 2 and verse 8, we read, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night." Did you catch that? They were living out in the fields. They had a low social standing. They were thought of to be crafty. They were thought of to be dishonest. And very often these shepherds, they were labeled as thieves. Indeed, so bad was the reputation of shepherds that they were not allowed to bear witness in a court of law. It was generally assumed if someone was a shepherd, then they were a liar. In that day and generation, shepherds were among the lowest of the low, and they were regarded as gypsies, vagrants, con men, all rolled into one. That was one group of men. But on the other hand, we find the wise men who were in many ways at the other end of the scale, the other end of the social scale. They were men of great influence. Matthew 2 in verse 1, we read how the wise men came to Jerusalem in search of the King of the Jews. These wise men, well, they had absolutely no problem gaining admission to Herod's palace or even obtaining an audience with the king himself. The shepherds, well, they wouldn't even have been allowed into the courtyard, never mind into the palace. Two groups of men from the opposite end of the social divide. And in many ways, that leads on to the second contrast, because that concerns the financial status of these two groups of men. The shepherds, well, they were so poor, whereas the wise men were evidently very rich. Basically, the shepherds had nothing. Yes, they had work in which they were able to look after their sheep and, I suppose, help to make ends meet, but wouldn't really have paid for much luxuries in life. And that reminded me of the time when we lived in Donegal and how one day there was about 12 sheep appeared in our front garden. And I contacted our neighbor who was a dairy farmer. And he says, "Oh, they're silly old sheep, those." And he came and he put them into one of his fields. And he said, "I look after them for a wee while." And they stayed for over 2 weeks. And no one came looking for them. No one claimed them. And eventually, my next door neighbor took them to market and got €5 per sheep. They were old sheep. They were evidently, in many ways, done. And whoever owned them had just thrown them out. And I suppose I kind of came to the conclusion that you'll never be rich in being a shepherd. But it's worth noting that in Luke 2 in verse 17 that we read of the shepherds that when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. Yes, they gladly spread the word, but they did not bring any gifts because they had none to offer. And by contrast, the wise men were obviously men of substance. They had the wherewithal to take a long journey, and that wouldn't have been easy in Bible times, and it wouldn't have been cheap in Bible times. They had the wherewithal to travel from the east to Jerusalem. And they didn't arrive, as we would say, with their arms of one length. They arrived with gifts. Matthew 2 and verse 11 informs us, they opened their treasures and presented him gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Such a difference. One group of men so poor, one group of men so wealthy. And the contrast of the social standing and the financial status between the shepherds and the wise men, it's easy to see. But let me highlight one more contrast that's perhaps less obvious. The shepherds lived close to where Jesus was born, whereas the wise men came from a great distance. Again, when we look carefully at the words of Luke 2 and verse 8, we discover that the shepherds were what? They were living out in the fields nearby. They were close to the action. They didn't have to travel too far to see the baby. But again, swing back to Matthew 2 and verse 1, we learn that the wise men, they traveled from the east. And that, of course, is a very general description, but since Herod inquired of them exactly when the star had appeared, and then later killed all the male children of Bethlehem from the age of 2 years down, it's possible that the star had appeared between 1 and 2 years before the time. And so in all probability, these wise men had traveled for many months. They came from the far corner of the world, whereas the shepherds came from just around the corner. So what are all these contrasts that I've been drawing out, what do they teach us? Well, surely the big message that springs from the contrast is the fact that Christ is for anyone who will have him, and that Christ is for you, whoever you may be. Well, perhaps today you feel, well, I'm unimportant in the eyes of most people. Or maybe you are important in the eyes of others. You may be rich, or you may be poor. You may be near Christ, or perhaps today you're still far from him. None of those things matter for the simple reasons that Jesus did not come to be the savior of the important or unimportant. He didn't come to be the savior of the rich or the poor, nor anything else. Praise God, Jesus came to be the savior of the world. And that includes every single person in this meeting house today. Irrespective of your age, irrespective of your social standing, irrespective of your marital status, irrespective of anything that we could bring into the equation, the Lord Jesus came to be your Savior. And that is great news this Christmas. No one, absolutely no one, is excluded. He wants to be your personal Savior this Christmas. Well, of course, Christmas 17 is just around the corner. But let me ask you a very personal question today. Have you as an individual found the Christ of Christmas? Maybe the truth is you think you're not important enough. Or maybe you think, well, I don't really have a lot of money and I don't really know if I could come to Jesus. Let me urge you to stop holding back. Let me urge you that even this day, find the Christ of Christmas and you will know the joy, you will know the peace that comes from knowing Him, of really knowing, not about religion, but being in a true, right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you got that? Have you got that? Because I tell you, you can have all that this world offers, but if you haven't got that relationship with Christ, then you're missing out on so, so much. So we have noted the magnificent contrast, but secondly and finally, we discover the amazing similarities. Switching from contrast, now you're thinking about similarities between the two groups of men who find Christmas. Well, there's no doubt about the contrast between the shepherds and the wise men, but at the same time, there were great similarities. And again, I want to highlight a few of those. First and foremost, the shepherds and the wise men each received an announcement about Christ's birth. That was very spectacular for the shepherds. Listen again to the words from Luke 2, verses 9 through to 12. This spectacular announcement. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Could you imagine hearing that tonight as you were out in the huckle? Could you imagine hearing that very sound coming from glory itself? And then if that were not enough, the whole sky lit up with a great company of angels who declared in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those who whom His favor rests." Yes, this verbal announcement came with an amazing visual display of the heavenly hosts. Truly, it was a marvelous thing to behold. The announcement of the wise men was also a visual sign, namely the star. The star has been explained in different ways. Some have said it was a comet. Others have said it was a special configuration or an overlapping of planets. Still others have suggested the appearance of God's Shekinah glory. Truth is, I don't know what it was, but I do know that the scriptures teach us that it was the star that guided the wise men to where Jesus Christ was. That star is the kind of thing that the wise men dealt with, and therefore well suited as the vehicle of their particular revelation. Both those revelations, one to the shepherds, one to the wise men, were truly magnificent. Why do I say that? Well, for about 400 years, there had been silence from God. No word, no prophecy. There was no word at all from God. And the page in your Bible, it's there between the end of Malachi and the book of Matthew. It represents a time passage of almost 400 years, that one slither of page marking the difference between the Old and New Testament. For all that time, the people of God had lived without any sign from God and without any prophet to speak the words of God to them. And as we were thinking in that opening psalm today, from Psalm 130, they were waiting. They were longing for the arrival of the Messiah to be born. And at last, the silence was broken. The sky was filled with angels and that joyful message. Today, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Well, perhaps as we read these words and we become so familiar with them, perhaps as we think, well, that was okay for the shepherds and the wise men, but we haven't received the sign. We haven't gone into a huckle and heard that in the sky or seen the sky lighting up. We haven't seen anything like that. And yet if you think like that, you would be wrong. Because today we're even more blessed than the shepherds or the wise men, because each one of us, we have the scriptures for ourselves. We have God's word to speak to us. We have the word of God, and it is a light shining in a dark place. Yes, we have this wonderful sign. We know more about God's wonderful plan of redemption than the shepherds or the wise men ever did. But I wonder this morning, truthfully, as we draw close to Christmas, do we really, really value the scriptures? Is God's word part of your daily living? There are things that we all do every day. We need to eat. We need to try and get dressed, even with a broken arm. We need to do those things every day. They're part of our daily living. But is God's word part of your daily living? If you're not in the habit of following a Bible plan, then I would encourage you to do that. There are many Bible apps that you can get for your mobile phone or your iPad. And so let me encourage you to set yourself a fresh challenge even for the year which lies ahead. That challenge to read the entire Bible in 2018. Personally, I find the McShane one-year Bible reading plan to be one of the best. But there are many others out there. And what I'm trying to underscore this morning is that as men, as women, as young people, you need to be people of the Word. We have this sign. We have it daily. And yet perhaps at times it just sits on the shelf, gathering dust. It's neglected. And yet God is coming to us again. And let's get into the Word. Let's hear what God would have to say to us. The second similarity is that both group of men obeyed God's summons. Perhaps again when we think about these men, we think, but sure, the wise men, the shepherds, they were never going to disobey. But then again, it was an unprecedented invitation. The wise men lived at a great distance away, and they were alerted to the child's birth only by the appearance of his star. They could have so easily have made excuses. They could have said, well, I'm sure somebody else will go and pay the respects. We don't really need to go. They could have said, oh, you know, Jerusalem is such a long distance to travel. It would just be more convenient for us to stay at home. The shepherds could also have so easily and readily made excuses that they could have said, well, we're not dressed for the occasion. We have nothing to bring this newborn baby. Maybe we as the low people of society, maybe we won't receive a welcome. On a practical note, they could have reasoned and said, but who's going to look after the sheep? If we all head away, who's going to look after the sheep? Well, the wonderful similarity about the wise men and the shepherds was the fact that instead of excuses, they obeyed and they eagerly made their way to worship the newborn king. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, Brian, you've talked about obedience a number of times this year, then you would be right. The matter of obedience has cropped up in a number of sermons this year. But I wonder, as this year draws to a close, is it still a matter that needs to be resolved in your life? Christian, maybe you know only too well that there have been times where God has been speaking very directly into your life about what you should be doing with your life. And yet instead of obedience, really all that you've offered to him is excuses. Oh, I couldn't take that step has perhaps been high on the list. Or what about, well, it would never really work out. There's so many practical complications to it. I don't think it could work out. And yet with God, all things are truly possible. Even in this Christmas narrative, when we think of how God sent his one and only Son into the world through the virgin birth, we would say that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God is able to do whatever he wants. Will you trust the God of miracles today? Will you trust in the God who indeed sent his Son into the world, born of a virgin? Will you completely be obedient to him and do whatever he has been asking you to do, or what he will ask you to do in 2018? When you trust and obey, then like the shepherds, then like the wise men, you will know God's leading and guiding in your life. But maybe for one today, you're not a Christian. And right at the heart of all of that is your disobedient heart. You know the Christmas story so well. You've been reared with that. You've heard it maybe in your own home from your parents. You've heard it here in this meeting house. You've heard it at Sunday school. You've heard it time and time again. You know it so well. You even know the gospel of Jesus' death for sinners, for which Christmas was indeed a vital preparation. You know the invitation of Jesus, who said in Matthew 11 and 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Yes, you know those things and many more. But have you obeyed? Today, afresh, God is summoning you. He's summoning you to lay down your puny arms of rebellion and to put your trust not in a denomination, not in a church building, but to put your trust in him. I tell you that you will never find Christmas until you discover Jesus as your personal Savior. That leads very naturally to the third similarity between the shepherds and the wise men. And that is, after they had received the announcement, after they had obeyed God's summons by going to Bethlehem, they all found the Savior. Well, this was a wonderful moment in the life and experience of all of these men. They found the Savior. Their obedience led them to Jesus, and their lives would never, ever be the same again. And I want to stress that that's still the same today. If you find Jesus as your personal Savior, then your life will be transformed. It will never be the same again. Sometimes I speak to people about their need of a Savior and about matters of salvation. And sometimes when I do that, people seem to make it out as if it's difficult to find. They somehow think it's like trying to find that elusive crocodile that I was talking to about the children in Zambia. People go out to look for it and never find it. And they almost seem to think that God is hiding from them. They almost paint the picture that God is lost and we have to go and search for him. But here's the good news today. The good news is that God is not lost and neither is truth. The bottom line is this, men and women, young people. The bottom line is that we are lost. And the difficulties are in us. And only God can find us. Jesus clearly said in John 14 and verse 6 that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And so afresh today I tell you that you need Jesus as your Savior, and nothing else will do. Your good works, your standing in society, your church connection, all of those things will ultimately count for nothing. Only Christ can save you from your sin. And so I drive that question into your heart this morning. Have you found him as your Savior this Christmas? Yesterday we have thought about the men who found Christmas, the shepherds, the wise men. Well, there can be no doubt about their contrast. They were so different from each other. But neither can we doubt their similarities and how ultimately they all found Jesus. But as I conclude today, I simply ask, how will this Christmas end up for you? Will you be like the innkeeper, Herod, and the religious leaders that we thought of last week? And will you miss Christmas? Or will you be like the shepherds and the wise men? And will you find Christmas? It's my prayer that everyone connected with Trinity Church will truly find the Christ of Christmas. May that be so for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your help as that word has been preached this morning. We thank you as we have looked together at the contrasts and the similarities between the shepherds and the wise men. Lord, our prayer would be that each one today would be able to leave this meeting house changed and transformed because they've truly, truly found the Christ of Christmas. Oh, Father, we realize that it's only your Spirit can do such a work. And so we pray that that might happen. We pray that we might be able to rejoice with the very angels in heaven of hearing others coming and trusting the Savior. And Lord, for those of us who do know and love you, we pray that even today that we would be more committed and are following after you. Forgive us, O God, if at times we're lax in that. Forgive us, O God, even if we've been leaving your word, sitting on a shelf, gathering dust. Help us to be men and women and young people of your word. Help us to get into that. Help us indeed, Lord, even to say, I'm going to start a Bible plan. I'm going to feed my soul on the word of God. Oh, Father, we pray that Christ would be right at the center of our daily living and that indeed we would shine for him. So, gracious God, we pray then that your word would indeed take out fresh root in our lives, that we would indeed flourish for you and that our lives indeed would show the beauty of Jesus Christ. We pray all these things then for Christ's sake alone. Amen.